Britain still gripped, not by Brexit, but rogue drones. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Gatwick, Britain's second biggest airport, has reopened more than 30 hours after it was shut down by a drone playing cat and mouse with authorities. The military and police are still hunting it. 120,000 passengers have been affected. Why haven't they just shut it down? Here's the Transport Secretary, Chris Grayling.
There is an experience recently elsewhere in the world of literally thousands of machine gun bullets being used to try and bring down a drone, failing to do so. And of course, you can't just fire weapons haphazardly in what is a built-up area around the airport. There are some systems now beginning to be introduced in some airports around the world, but there is no single simple solution.
So what's the cost of all this on one of the busiest travel days of the year? Peter Morris is chief economist at Flight Global.
From the airline's point of view, they have staff and aircraft that are ready and willing to take off, and then they end up with a whole bunch of aircraft that are in the wrong place if they get diverted to another airport. From the passengers' point of view, they've paid a certain amount of money and unable to travel.
And indeed, we've heard stories of some passengers, you know, for example, being offered taxi rides at the last minute, one airport to another, for hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
It's not cheap to get from, say, Southwest London to Stansted anyway. You probably pay as much as the fare you'll pay to go to Italy.
It is one of the busiest travel days of the year. It is a holiday season when retailers are already struggling. So, I mean, does that make it a sort of slightly more significant hit?
Well, people who maybe were coming to the UK for Christmas shopping might decide they'll come for the weekend. It's not worth it now. And so cancel the trip. And so there'll be an economic hit to UK shops, equally well going the other way, people going to Christmas markets and so on. And you could speculate that's probably about 25% of people will decide not to travel. And so the economic impact of their travel in both directions will be lost effectively.
Peter Morris there. Let's do the numbers. Global shares are lower on concerns of a possible U.S. government shutdown. In Japan, Nissan shares fell by 2% after former chairman Carlos Ghosn was rearrested on fresh charges. And U.S. crude fell to below $46 a barrel, a 17-month low. Now, it's the last day on the job for Germany's coal miners. Prosper Haniel, the country's last deep tunnel mine, closes today. The BBC's Damian McGuinness has been telling me more.
It's a big moment emotionally, I would say, Anu, because this in this region of Germany, there's been deep coal mining for hundreds of years. The region's doing pretty well, actually better than in previous years. So it's not the worst moment to shut down this coal mine. There's been a lot of subsidies supporting it for many years. So economically, it probably makes sense, but certainly emotionally, it's a very big moment for Germany.
So it's the last coal mine, but it's not the end of coal in Germany.
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of coal being extracted from open pit mines. The problem with that is it's very dirty. It's shutting down the deep black coal mines because that sort of coal is just not competitive anymore. But of course, it's going to really impact parts of the country which survive on these coal mines. It's a very controversial issue right now. And at some point over the next year or two, the government's going to have to take some quite big steps to decide what to do in order to support the local economies there.
Damian McGuinness in Berlin. The Spanish Christmas lottery, El Gordo, will be held Saturday. It's more than 200 years old and one of the biggest jackpots in the world. It's been a tumultuous year since the last winner was announced. The BBC's Guy Hedgeco reports.
El Gordo para Navidad.
Millions of Spaniards are looking forward to this weekend's Christmas lottery. And on the streets of almost every town and village, tickets are sold right up to the last minute. For Spain, it's been a year of mixed fortunes, of economic stability, yet political turmoil. The year began with a continuation of the crisis caused by Catalonia's failed bid for independence from Spain in 2017. Then a new pro-independence Catalan government took office. But the battle between them and Madrid has led to huge political uncertainty. Jordi Soler, a member of the European Parliament for the Catalan Republican Left Party, says the desire for independence among many Catalans is still strong.
We have a renewed majority in Catalan Parliament. We have a government that keeps being committed with the goal of implementing the Catalan Republic.
One person who did come up a winner this year was Pedro Sánchez. The socialist leader launched a no-confidence motion against Conservative Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy, whose popular party has been mired in corruption scandals. Rajoy lost the vote and Sanchez suddenly became Prime Minister, but his party holds fewer than a quarter of seats in Spain's lower house of parliament, so his government is unable to make sweeping reforms. Yet the economy has continued to grow faster than most European Union countries, but elsewhere there are signs of strain. Nearly 20 million British tourists visit Spain every year, and there are worries that the uncertainty surrounding Brexit could cause that number to fall substantially. For the young children announcing the winning lottery numbers in song this weekend, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, if only politicians were so lucky. In the coming months, Mr. Sanchez's fragile government may struggle to approve the 2019 budget. Mr. Sanchez may indeed be told by a disgruntled electorate that his number is up.
That's Guy Hedgeco reporting from Spain. Now, if, like me, you're off over Christmas break, spare a thought for Hungarian workers. A new law raises the cap on overtime to 400 hours a year. That's about an hour and a half each workday, and companies can wait 3 years to pay. Now, the government says there is a serious labor shortage and the overtime is voluntary, but 16 unions are planning to strike against what they are calling the, quote, slave law. That's it from us for today. Join us again. And remember, you can catch our podcast wherever you get yours. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.